In this week's Spectator cover feature, David Rose examines why politicians, not the big six energy firms, have jacked up the price of power and what's coming next and what needs to change.
So David, in the Spectator this week, you argue that Britain has chosen green energy over cheap energy for many years successfully, like Germany, and this is the root of the coming energy scandal. Is that right?
Well, yes. I mean, we've had this debate that's been going on since Ed Miliband's speech to the Labour conference talking about energy bills, the freeze that he says he will introduce. And we've had various government measures saying that they could trim bills by a few percent here or there if they transfer certain levies for things like loft insulation to taxation. But the fact is, what is just around the corner are increases which will just dwarf what we've seen so far, because what we are committed to, thanks to the 2008 Climate Change Act, which was piloted through by Ed Miliband, and also through the Energy Bill, which is currently nearing the end of its passage through Parliament, is enormously expensive and radical change to our whole electricity generating system. Basically, we have to triple the proportion of electricity generated by renewables such as wind turbines from 11 to 33% by 2020. And then by 2027, we will be left with an almost entirely decarbonized electricity supply. The sort of reasonable estimates by energy experts of how much this is going to cost are in the order of £100 billion by 2020 and about £300 billion by 2030, which will leave us with the most expensive energy in the world, and not only crippling bills for consumers, but also, of course, for business, which will simply become unprofitable and relocate elsewhere.
You mentioned, obviously, Ed Miliband's speech at the Labour Party conference this year, which has really brought energy back onto the agenda, because before that, it was sort of there and it came every so often, but now there's this big demand for change. Do you think he's responsible for a lot of this with the 2008 Climate Change Act, isn't he?
Well, I mean, he does bear a considerable personal responsibility, but the truth is the whole of the political class bears this responsibility. I mean, since actually 2003, when Tony Blair first started talking about these legally binding targets, all the main parties have gone along with this idea that we have to reduce our carbon dioxide emissions, but in this particular way. I mean, the truth is there are other ways of achieving reductions in greenhouse gases which are much more effective, such as that used in America, which is to frack for shale gas, which is an extremely clean and safe form of energy, which produces far less emissions than coal, for example. America has not only reduced the price of its electricity by more than half in the last 7 or 8 years, it's also cut its greenhouse gases to the levels that they were at the beginning of the 90s. So there are alternative courses here, but the whole of our political class, all the three main parties, have gone along with this extraordinary agenda of renewable energy, wind energy principally, and the consequences that that brings, without really any thought of what's going to happen as a result.
There has been some change from the Conservative Party, though, because when David Cameron first became leader, it was vote blue, go green. Whereas now, there's been a lot of signs from George Osborne and people at the Treasury that shale gas and fracking is the way to try and reduce our energy bills. Do you think they're really true about this and are going to push forward with it?
Well, I mean, the problem is, I suspect that George Osborne does have the right instincts. I think he does realise the enormous scale of the crisis we face. And by the way, if you want to appreciate the scale of that crisis, just look at what's happening in Germany, which is some way further down this path, where just this week, the chemical giant BASF announced that it might withdraw from German production, where it employs more than 50,000 people, because of the enormous cost of electricity there. But yeah, I mean, yeah, Osborne does sort of get it, but it's also Osborne who has signed the most expensive energy deal in history that guarantees the French company EDF double the price of electricity for 40 years if it builds this new nuclear power plant in Gloucestershire. And the whole of the Conservative Party is actually hamstrung, because the coalition agreement itself commits the government, and therefore the Tories, to this green agenda. There are quite a lot of influential figures inside the Conservative Party who are completely sold on it. I mean, one thinks of people like Tim Yeo, until recently the chairman of the Commons Select Committee on Energy and Climate Change, who himself, of course, has large personal commercial interests in various green companies. It's very difficult for the Tory party to produce the sort of clear policy thinking that we need to break, to create the kind of radical breach that's necessary, because, you know, make no mistake, we are talking about a radical change of course, repealing the Climate Change Act, not letting the energy bill come into force, a complete change of direction to go down something much closer to the American road, and there is simply not the political will or the kind of concatenation of forces which right now seems to make that possible.
One of the things that you suggest in your piece is that the 2008 Climate Change Act needs to be repealed, but that's obviously never going to happen within the coalition, because the Lib Dems see green energy as the nearest thing to have to a religion.
Well, that's right. I mean, when you listen to it, Dave, talking about renewable energy, it does have almost religious sacred overtones. And yes, it's really not possible for the Tories to make the kind of break that is necessary. And of course, yeah, they have sponsored or jointly sponsored this energy bill, which in many ways is almost more ruinous than the Climate Change Act. I suppose the issue then arises, I mean, is it conceivable that the Tories could go into the next election with a manifesto that did commit it to repealing the Climate Change Act? Well, you know, that's what they should do. I very much doubt they have either the political will or even the clarity of thought that makes that possible. And of course, you know, there is a danger that important parts of the Conservative Party would just refuse to support this, and you would actually see a very damaging Tory party split if it were to go down that road.
And just finally, do you think, well, obviously a lot of talk at the moment in Westminster about a very cold winter, which would obviously be very bad for the government as well. Do you think that if that does happen, this will have some impact on the debate?
Well, I suppose it probably would, because if there is a very cold winter, I mean, one of the things that's also happening is that the extra capacity that the electricity generating system needs to cope with very cold winters is shrinking rapidly. And Ofgem, the electricity regulator, has said there is a much greater chance of blackouts than there has been, and that risk is likely to increase, certainly until 2015-2016. I think if the lights go out, that really will start to focus people's minds, because if the lights go out, you know, people are going to die. I mean, people die of cold every winter anyway. There are 5 million people in this country living in fuel poverty. 25,000 old people approximately die anyway of cold in the winter. But if the lights go out, you know, modern central heating systems require electric pumps to work. And people will suddenly find it very, very painful. They won't be able to charge their mobile phones. They won't be able to use the computers or the internet, let alone the lights. This is not going to be some sort of lark. It will be very, very serious. So, you know, it might even take that before people really wake up to the scale of the crisis we face.